Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our lesson will teach a very unpopular religious truth. The religious world and the Bible are often at odds with each other. The Bible calls for much that the religious world rejects, and the religious world condones and promotes and supports much that the Bible opposes. Calling for a strict following of the Bible is often ridiculed. Many have such a strong desire for what they call unity and for what they call brotherliness that they have allowed themselves to be forced into compromise of the truth of God in order to get along with other people. While there can be no objection to wanting to be brotherly, we must consider the teaching of God more seriously than to set it aside in order to accommodate men. True and genuine unity cannot be founded on anything except the truth. It cannot be based upon a compromise of the truth. And while we're all brothers physically, Acts 17:26, we're not all brothers spiritually. Not everyone is a spiritual child of God. Not even all who say they are God's children are really His spiritual family, which is His church. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. There is tremendous pressure against adhering to the Bible. Toleration is the watchword. And while we must be tolerant, does that mean that we must agree that everything is all right, regardless of what the Word of God teaches? Is it evil, is it wicked judging to stand by the Bible and oppose what differs with it? Would we not be guilty of judging God if we dismissed His Word and decided everything is beautiful in its own way? Friend, freedom of religion does not mean freedom from religion. Nor does it mean that it makes no difference what one believes and what one does in religion. Religious freedom, probably the most wonderful freedom we enjoy in America, does not mean that God approves whatever anyone does religiously. Unity is not agreeing to disagree. Nor is it hate and bigotry and prejudice to hold to convictions that are founded on inspired revelation. Christians should never be afraid to stand for the truth. We should rather be afraid to ever be ashamed of it, regardless of the consequences. It may cost us our friends, our families, our jobs, the consideration of our fellow man. It may cost money, acceptance, or maybe even worse. As Paul admonished, we must stand fast in the faith. And this leads us now to consider a very unpopular religious truth. There are many who contend that all the religions serve a good cause, and all of them are all right before God. And they place Mohammedism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, Christianity, all on the same plane. One is just as good as another in their view. These are simply different ways of approaching the supreme being, we're told. Now, closely akin to that attitude is that which is held by most religious so-called Christian denominations, namely that Christianity is the superior faith, possibly the only faith, but one church is just as good as another, according to some. One faith is just as beneficial as another, they would contend. The Lord's church, according to their belief, is supposed to be made up of all the denominations combined. In sharp contrast to these views is the view that there is but one faith that is acceptable before God, that there is but one church, that denominations have no place in this world by the authority of God, but are man-made religions that are not the church that was founded by Christ. It is not uncommon that those who hold these views are considered second-class people, all right, that they claim to be self-righteous, that they hate other people and narrow-minded and all kinds of similarly ugly designations. But who has the courage and the integrity to inquire from the Scripture and see what is taught there? Are we honest enough to ask, what does the Bible teach? Are we honest enough to accept what the Bible teaches? Can we contend that we believe and follow the Bible if we defend what the Bible opposes or attack what the Bible teaches? Keep in mind, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Friend, this affirms, the Bible is breathed of God, inspired of God, infallible, inerrant. Therefore, it is authoritative and all-sufficient. Who will accept it? The Bible teaches that there is only one church that belongs to God. Now, while some scoff at this and say one church is just as good as another, and one faith is just as good as another, and that we have the right to choose the church of our choice, the truth of the matter is that Christ established His church, that He's the head of the one body, which is the church, and He promises to save the church, and has given teaching as to how to become a member of His church, and He never gives man the authority to choose the church of His choice. Now some will say there's so much good in every church, and this we do not doubt. And this being true, we wonder why people don't join them all and get the good out of all of them. Friend, do you recall that 98% of rat poison is good food? But who wants to swallow it? Indeed, there may be much good in all the churches, but friend, there is also deadly, fatal, spiritual poison. When people talk about Christians in all denominations, we're compelled to ask, where does the Bible teach anything whatever about denominations? Where does the Bible teach that God is pleased with their existence? It does seem that those who condone and promise denominationalism and also say they believe the Bible is God's Word, they ought to produce something from the Bible that is favorable to denominationalism, at least show where God has authorized such a system as denominationalism. The trouble with denominationalists is that they want to serve God their own way. To differ with people about denominationalism is not to challenge their honesty, or their integrity, or their sincerity. The Scriptures, however, show that people can be honest and sincere and as wrong as can be. Consider Saul of Tarsus before he was converted. As for the church, what does the Bible teach? Are there many churches? Is one church as good as another, according to the Bible? Does God give man a choice of churches? The word church, friend, means the called out. This has reference to people who have been called by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. They've been called out of darkness into light, Colossians 1 and verse 13. We read of the church universally. We read about it when in assembly. We read of the church locally. When the Bible speaks of Christ as the head of the church, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, Colossians 1, 18, the term refers to the church everywhere. And we read about local congregations. The church in Corinth, the church in Ephesus, these are local congregations. And in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 18, we read of the church when assembled, such as at the time for partaking of the Lord's Supper. The church, friend, is composed of the saved, Acts 2, 47. And when the members of the church are scattered, the Scripture speaks of the church being scattered, Acts 8 and verse 4. A single member is not the church, but he is a member of the body which is the church. Now in Matthew 16, 16 through 18, Christ promised to build His church. And He said He would build His church, singular in number. There is one body, Ephesians 4, verse 4, and the body is the church, Colossians 1 and 18. As husbands have but one wife, so Christ has but one church, which is His bride, Ephesians 5. The local churches were not denominations, but all believed the same doctrine. They became members the same way. They were to worship the same way, follow the same rule, be guided by the same instructions. And before going further, you need to read such passages as 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and chapter 6, Galatians chapter 1, John chapter 17. And after reading such passages, how could anyone contend for unity and diversity? And that it matters little what one does and believes and teaches and practices in religion. The idea that God is pleased regardless of what we think and do is diametrically opposite of Romans 12 and verse 16. Paul said, be of the same mind one toward another. Why, it contradicts that admonition, be comforted, be of the same mind, as 2 Corinthians 13:11. Philippians 4 and verse 2 reads, I exhort, be of the same mind in the Lord. My dear listener, the idea of division, varying doctrines, varying practices, being acceptable in New Testament Christianity is absolutely absurd. Our Lord bought the church with His own blood, Acts 20, verse 28. And it makes a difference whether you're a part of it or whether you're not. It is the difference between salvation and condemnation. The teaching that one can be saved in all churches is blasphemous against Christ and His blood on the very face of it. The church is His kingdom, Matthew 16, Colossians 1. And it is His kingdom that's going to be delivered to the Father when He comes again, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. And those outside of His kingdom, the church, are not promised salvation, but are warned of condemnation. Someone comes forward to inquire, do you believe the church of Christ is the true church of the New Testament? Well, friend, if I did not, knowing what the Bible teaches about being in His church, I would not want to be a member of anything else. And if I did not believe I was in the church revealed in the Bible, I would be busy finding it. When I could read of the church in the Bible, and when I can believe what those people believed, and practice what they practiced, and worship like they worshiped, then I am what they were. Christian. No more, no less. In the kingdom. A member of the body. The church that belongs to Christ. All people must do is to take the Bible and follow it and leave off the theologians and the disciplines and the manuals and the catechisms, the human traditions, the innovations, the additions, the subtractions, of which men have been guilty of doing with God's revelation about the church. And the church of the Bible will be produced by sowing the seed of the kingdom, which is the Word of God. It would not be possible to produce a denomination when you sow only the Word of God. One must sow the tares of human doctrines to produce a denomination. My dear listener, Christ is the only way to God, John 14, 6. This means other religions are vain and false, and Christ has but one church. If a church is a denomination, then it's not the church of Jesus Christ. If it is the church of Christ, then it's not a denomination. Nowhere are we taught one church is just as good as another. Choose your own church. You can be saved in any of them or none of them if you see fit. That is satanic and deceptive false doctrine. The truth is, Christ has His church, and to be saved we must be members of it. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.